Good evening, everyone. I call the April 17th, 2023 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the
good evening, everyone. We are now moving to general communications. This is announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I just have one general. The spring is here. There is lots of opening day events for the little leagues and softball leagues. They started this past weekend. I know there's a number coming up. There's also a number of cleanups that are happening around Earth Day, which is coming up this weekend. I know there was a big cleanup in Patuxent Village, Patuxent River. So I thank all the people that participated in that. On Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there'll be a cleanup of Gorton's Pond by the community. And I know that there is a cleanup in Oakland Beach as well this weekend. So please get out. Hopefully we get more great weather like we had on Friday and Saturday, and we can continue. And please join these and participate in these community events. Does any members of the council have anything under general communications? Councilman Gephardt.
I just wanted to add that today, one of my constituents and one of our residents, Daniel Anter, ran his 25th consecutive Boston Marathon. He finished in 3 minutes and 3 hours and 33 minutes. That would be very fast. But congratulations to Dan. It's a tremendous accomplishment. There's only 120 people in the world who have ever completed 25 consecutive Boston Marathons. So, yeah, quite an accomplishment. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the council for anything under general communications? Okay, moving on to executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on April 3rd. Councilman Howe.
Council President, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that, please?
I'm looking for a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the April 3rd meeting.
Move favorable action on the minutes.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Number one on the agenda this evening is appointments requiring confirmation. There is one to the Library Board of Trustees Committee Report Appointments.
Committee recommends favorable action on the appointment of Ms. Chase to the Library Board of Trustees.
All right. For action, Councilman Gephardt, can you move that for me?
I move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the Appointments Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, appointment passes.
Thank you, the appointment passes. Next up is public comment. I do want to do last call. I have the sheet here if there's any members of the public that would like to participate in public comment. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall not to exceed 5 minutes to speak. Provided, however, if there are more than 6 citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of either the earlier of the speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous vote of the council. So last call, if there's any other members of the public that would like to speak on Rule 41. Okay. We'll call up the first person. Rob Cody.
Okay. Yeah, I just had a couple of comments relative to the last council meeting. We were discussing the change in the taxes that could possibly impact businesses. And at the end of the meeting, when the general public no longer was able to have redress, Mr. Howe made some statements and specifically targeted myself and Bob Cushman. And I'd just like to briefly clarify those statements because they were less than accurate. One of the first things he said was that this particular individual was sending out false information pertaining to schools and that stating that the council voted for schools. That's not what I said at all. What I said was that the council voted to move forward the stage 2 application prior to seeing it on February 7th because it wasn't complete till February 20th. And when it was completed, it wasn't Mr. Howell, the council, that found the $85.7 million worth of error and omissions. It was Rob Cody that found them. That was the first thing. The second thing was, he spoke about that given the fact that the business community here, he made mention that I basically sent out false information on emails to bring people and get them upset. That never happened. I never sent out any emails. The emails were sent out by Lauren from the Chamber of Commerce, not myself. So that again was false information. He also made a statement, a very derogatory statement, that when I wasn't chasing down rescue trucks and fire trucks, that I was sending out false information. Well, the fact of the matter is, Mr. Howe, I don't chase down fire trucks or rescues. I see basic, blatant abuse of the policies, and I've documented the abuse of the policies. And if the city council or the administration was doing their due diligence, I wouldn't have to do that. Just as when we look at budgets and we document, we crunch numbers, it wasn't the city council that found several hundred thousand or half $1 million worth of money that was absconded from the unused sick pay. It was Rob Cody, because I actually took the time to study the documents, crunch the numbers, and do the math. It wasn't you on the finance committee. It was a member of the general public that did that, someone who for 20 years has been actively looking at the budget documents and actually, as a professional in the construction business, knows how to do that. You also made a comment about a Facebook page putting fear into senior citizens where they're going to lose their houses. Another false comment. It was the mayor who spoke about building the schools and the possible tax ramifications that could force people out of their houses. So I think you really need to be accurate in your assumptions. And it's upsetting because these things are said when we have no redress. So what I think an amicable professional solution would be, and this will be my offer to you, and Mr. Cushman and I will get a venue, whatever venue you like, whether it's at the public library or even a restaurant, we'll pay for the dinner. You come and answer questions that the constituents pose on subject matter such as contracts, infrastructure, taxes, and the building of new schools, because you have that expertise. You're on the council. You get to get all that information that we don't get. You come, answer questions posed by members of the general public and your constituents, where you don't have to hide behind the council rules that stop us from asking and we're so limited. You come and let's have that discussion in public. I challenge you to do that, because when we come here, you've conveniently set up rules and regulations to limit everything that we talk about. So let's have a friendly, amicable conversation at the library in a public venue. You want hors d'oeuvres, you want a full meal, we'll pay for it. Come and answer some questions. You can bring Councilman McAllister or any of your colleagues. And let's set the playing field and let's set the record straight, because I really don't like coming here to correct you when you make false statements based on lack of knowledge and lack of information. So let's do that. I'm available at any time. At your convenience, we'll set it up, and I'd love to have you there. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next up on the, we're all set? Okay. Next up on the calendar is number two. The agenda is the consent calendar, which is PCR 45-23, resolution relative to bids. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2023-406, bid 2023-380 Alpha, bid 2023-424. Bid 2023-429, bid 2023-381, bid 2024-013, bid 2024-030, bid 2023-425, bid 2024-009 Alpha, bid 2024-012. Bid 2023-027, bid 2023-195 Bravo, bid 2024-009 Bravo, and bid 2024-009 Charlie. That concludes the consent calendar on the bids, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments on the consent calendar that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latza?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, consent passes.
Thank you. The consent calendar passes. Councilman Howe, I believe one item has been removed from the consent calendar.
Yes, Mr. President. Bid 2023-380 Bravo Fire Apparatus Repairs, additional venues, has been requested to be pulled and is now PCR 47-23.
Okay. Do you have does the committee have a recommendation?
Recommendation of favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on this? Councilman Latticer.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I indicated in the committee meeting, I will be voting no on this item, not because of the item itself or the need for that support on that item, but because this is another time when the bid process, at least as I see it, is being circumvented. There are a multitude of vendors that are being included in this item for potential business from the city, but yet, for whatever reason, they have chosen not to bid. But in spite of that, in spite of the process and the reasoning and the rationale and the necessity for the bid process, the department is recommending to award the bids, I should say, to give the authority to the Department of Public Works to do business with these vendors in spite of the fact that they didn't bid. You don't know what the number is going to be. We don't know if they have the proper certifications that are required to do business with the city. And the bottom line is, they didn't take the time to bid for whatever reason. But yet, potentially, they still could be rewarded some business from this city, just the same as the vendors that went through the process, they took the time to do the bid. And I think that's wrong. And this isn't the first time that this has happened, but I'm not going to support this for those reasons, because I can't encourage circumventing the bid process like this. I just think it's wrong. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gephardt.
I just wanted to make a brief comment. I understand the councilman's hesitation here. I and the committee had similar hesitations, but we did get additional information. You know, some of the vehicles going out for repair are specialty in nature, and that there are limited vendors who can only, you know, perform. Christy gave several examples that were cogent. You know, the department, of course, is going to, their first step is to attempt to fix in-house, which typically they're successful with. Step two would be to go out to one of the approved vendors. But where there are specialty items like a German motor or a special chassis or whatever the specialty condition is, that they may need to use one of these other approved vendors. So I was satisfied with Christie's explanation on that from DPW. And I will support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no hesitation on my part. This is very definitive. I am not going to be supporting this. And I also stated in the committee meeting after comments were made earlier that the mayor has the right to do a 3-3 on anything of an emergency nature. So if you happen to have a vehicle that has a blown transmission and it's only available from ABC transmission, the mayor can do a 3-3 on that. But to just say this is traditional or this is correct protocol to potentially give a dozen vendors who didn't take the time to bid, who don't want their numbers to be known, who are not willing to go out on the line on competitive issues, is what happens when you do have a bid process. I'm not going to support that. So there's no hesitation. It's definitive. I'm not voting for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay. This has been moved favorable and second. So the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8-1-0, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. We're now moving on the agenda to referred business. This is going to be the public hearing, PCO 11-23, committee report, land use.
Recommend public hearing.
For action, Councilman Gephardt.
I move to open the public hearing.
Second by Councilman Howe. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So now we're going to move to the public hearing. The way we set this up here is this is we will have someone present to the city council. then the members of the city council can ask questions and make comments. Then I will ask any residents here if they'd like to speak in favor of this project. You'll have an opportunity to come up. Then I will ask if there are any residents here that would like to speak against this project to come up. And then we will have another opportunity for anyone who would just like to be heard on this project. So I just ask that all speakers speak into the mic and speak slowly. We have a stenographer here tonight to record this. So at this time, is there anyone here to present PCO 11-23?
Good evening, Mr. President, honorable members of the Warwick City Council. For the record, Attorney K. Joseph Shikachi representing the applicant this evening. With me tonight, I have Bill Lavery, in project manager and engineer from Joe Casale Engineering. I'm just putting a rendering up. It's a very simple request. This application received unanimous approval from the planning board. It's a zone change from A10 to A10 PDR. The applicant purchased the property, is wishing to develop it into two duplexes for a total of four units. Under the City of Warwick density calculation, he could request up to five, but due to the unique characteristics of the property, consultations with the planning department and with the planning board over this past summer, this was the site plan that could receive a positive recommendation, hence a positive vote from the planning board. What you see is a property that is off of Post Road heading into East Greenwich. It abuts the railroad tracks. And what the applicant would like to do is build two very nice, very high-end condominiums. It's serviced by city water, city sewer. We think this is an appropriate land use. They're very nice. These are going to have individual elevators in them as well, so people can get up and down. Going to have a beautiful building high, have a beautiful view of the water. I'll be happy to answer any questions, go into details of it. We realize that four units will be four individual families. We have compensated with parking. The City of Warwick's parking calculation at 8 units. We're showing parking for 20 units, 20 spaces, excuse me, not eight parking spaces. We're showing 20 parking spaces. Be happy to answer any questions. The engineer's here. The applicant, unfortunately, wasn't able to attend this evening due to a prior commitment, but his two sons are here as well. I'll be happy to answer any questions from the council and then the neighbors as well, if there are any.
Thank you very much. I believe this is in Ward 9, Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you. Looking through this, I did have a couple of questions. Just to clarify, so the sanitation services for these units will be private. Is that correct?
Yes, it's part of the conditions from the planning department. That's correct.
I would just ask that in the process of finding tenants for these or property owners, that make sure that be communicated, because we have had some issues in the past.
That's a very, very good point. Thank you for bringing it up. It will be disclosed in the condominium declaration as well.
Okay. Good. And then I guess during the presentation, we can get into this, but there are a number of aspects of relief being requested here. I just want to make sure that not having had the benefit of being at the public hearing, in the planning board, if we could just run through what's being requested.
Sure, I'll call up the engineer, Mr. Bill Lavery, and ask to be sworn in, and then he can testify.
Thank you.
Mr. President, members of the council, William Lavery Jr. with Joe Casale Engineering.
Thank you. The clerk will swear you in.
Do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, the variances that we had requested with this project are predominantly due to the siting of the units on the site, trying to keep the development pushed away from the other residential neighbors. In doing so, we are requesting a variance from the side yard setback, the rear yard setback, and the distance between the buildings. That was all coordinated and reviewed with both planning and the building department of the best way to kind of site these buildings for the least amount of relief needed. That's why we put the buildings together a little bit. No building code issues, but we didn't have as much relief as for the side in the rear. There's also a variance for parking within 15 feet of the structure, which the type of townhome type structure we're using, the driveway is abutting the house. So that's kind of just a formal request for that. And then there is a existing variance for the frontage of the property. And that just goes with the parcel itself is already existing nonconforming for that dimension.
Okay, thank you from that. And I heard Mr. Shikarchi mention city sewer, city water. So that simplifies things. So I have not heard from the neighborhood or from any of the neighbors at this point. So we'll leave them. I remember having met. So thank you for coming tonight. We'll let the hearing play out. But those are all my questions for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Sakachi, I just want to confirm that connecting to the sewers is going to be a mandatory requirement?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It was recorded in the planning board decision, and I believe if we were able to secure a second passage approval from this council, that it would be a requirement. You usually incorporate that in your own approval as well. So absolutely, yes.
Question for Attorney Shikarchi. Were there many neighbors or residents who contacted yourself or the applicant outside of the meetings?
No, not that I'm aware of, but there were three people who had questions in opposition to this at the planning board.
Okay. Yeah, I ask because with these sorts of proposals, I know that many notices go out. And so naturally, there are going to be some people who have concerns.
Questions. Sure. Yeah. Legitimately so. I mean, originally, when the client first contacted me, he was looking to do like 10 to 12 units, different style, different small size, more units. That was unacceptable to the planning department. And we continued the negotiation, and we actually had a workshop, which is unusual for Warwick, not lately, but other cities and towns where you go and you meet off, not so much off the record, but it's a public meeting, but without a recording per se and without notice, and you discuss this like a charrette, if you will. And we did that over the summer with the planning board, and my client at the time was asking for 5. And the planning board said no, 4 would be the most that they would entertain. So we redesigned it, and he basically upscaled it for 4 units. These are going to go for, you know, well over $500,000 per unit.
I appreciate that you, your client, and of course the planning department and planning board all work together collaboratively on that in order to come up with the proposal that's in front of us. I know that extra steps such as these can be frustrating. Certainly, if I were to put myself in the shoes of someone making a proposal and then have to go back to the drawing board, that's not always the easiest thing. But taking those extra steps, going through that additional process, I think that there really is a benefit to it all that brought us here to this hearing this evening. From my review of the proposal and from hearing the history, I think that, especially knowing that it's satisfactory to the planning department and planning board after great consideration, and also seeing the work that went into this, seeing the process that's been followed here, and also keeping in mind the housing crisis that we're seeing at a national level, state level, and local level. I think that well-planned and thoroughly thought out housing such as this, two buildings, each with two condominiums, I think that this is something that's in Warwick's best interest. That's my comments for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Okay, at this time, we're going to ask if there are residents of the... Oh, Councilman Sanapi.
Just a brief thing. I have a unfortunate bias against the private trash pickup because it has caused problems in my ward. So the only thing I'd ask is for you all to be cognizant of when it comes time to arrange that, to make sure whatever stipulations or contract you have with the private vendor is very specific as the timing and the receptacle for which the trash goes in. Because I've seen these buildings where they have multiple units, they'll give them a dumpster that is not adequate, or they'll come and pick it up pre 7 a.m., 6 a.m., 5 a.m., 4 a.m., and just wake the neighborhood up. So when you do arrange that, I definitely make sure it's as specific and ironclad as possible.
Absolutely. And if the we will certainly follow the ordinance, and I will tell you if the council wanted to put in a stipulation no sooner than 9, no later than 3, whatever you would, and you can make it as part of a condition of approval if that's your desire, or let the planning board set it at the after. If we are successful with these two council hearings, there's another public hearing yet at the planning board sometime in July, June, July, August, somewhere in that time frame. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman?
I did have one other. I couldn't find this earlier, but just wanted to call out in the departmental responses that go around to all the departments within the city. The only one that I saw that was of note was from Sewer, that there's a grinder to be installed and at the cost of the developer. So just making sure that that's on the record and
thank you.
Incorporated.
We understand that. And again, we will certainly comply.
Thank you. Okay. At this time, again, we're going to ask for anyone who would like to speak in favor of this project. Any residents or members of the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Good evening, sir, and just please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Carlos Machado, pardon me, and I'm at 4540 Post Road, which is the adjacent neighbor on the north side, also the one requesting the rear yard, access. Excuse me. I know Steve, I've recently met Steve, we've had conversations. I fully support the project. I think what he's going to do there is going to really improve the overall look of the neighborhood. Just what he's done in the last year and clearing the lot has just been amazing. It's opened up a beautiful view of the bay to a lot of our neighbors. I also own a home right around the corner on Duane Street. So, in fact, I'm a dual neighbor. I have full support. He has my full support. I've also spoken to a couple of neighbors in the neighborhood, and they, at least, they supporting it as well. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Are there any other individuals who would like to speak in favor of this project?
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. So my name is Greg Eccleston. I'm a broker associate with Century 21 Access America. I've been in real estate in Rhode Island for 38 years, and I reside at 9 Ladd Street, which is the next street down south, running parallel. And I'm just outside of the 200-foot radius, but I kind of wanted to say a few things about my thoughts on this. So it's my opinion as a realtor and as a neighbor that this construction is attractive. It's higher end. So as far as what kind of effect it's going to have on the neighborhood, I think it's going to be a positive effect. And if anybody's concerned about their property values, I think it's only going to positively affect the values in the area as well. The architectural design, I think, is very attractive. I think four units on over three quarters of an acre of land in that area is adequate if he can get approvals for setbacks. Many of those homes sit on 6,000, 7,000 square foot lots. Some of those are multifamilies. I'd also like to point out that I have a couple of neighbors here that I'm very friendly with, and they have legitimate concerns. So I think if those concerns can be answered and addressed, hopefully you'll be good with what's going on here. Yeah, so that's it.
Thank you. Are there any other individuals who would like to speak in favor of this project? Are there any other individuals who would like to speak in favor? Are there any other individuals who would like to speak in favor? Are there any individuals here that would like to speak against this project?
I would just like to have some questions.
Sure, come on up to the mic, sir.
Okay, my name is Christopher Stafford. I live at 33 William Street, directly next door. I'm the one that sold him the property. As before, when I was at the, a zoning board?
Planning, yeah.
Right, or planning board. I just had concerns about parking. Oh.
Yeah, it's hard to hear, sorry.
Sorry about that.
There it is.
Jesus Christ. I'm not experienced at this. But anyway, yes, we had discussed that about the parking. As long as there's no vehicles that are being parked on the street, because the street narrows up where my house is, and in case of an emergency vehicle needs to get down, I want to make sure that the street's clear, because I've had heart problems. I have two 80-year-old neighbors, and I don't want any sort of congestion down there. Now, I seen the thing, the piece of paper that was sent to me about rezoning the property. Can you explain to me exactly what we're rezoning? I mean, it was a one page thing. I have it with me.
Sure, Attorney Shikashi. You can use this mic over here too, Attorney, if you'd like, just so you don't have to keep going back and forth. So he could stay there.
I'd just like to see what you have, sir. I think I know what it is. I think it's just a notice that was in the newspaper. Yes.
This is the only thing I was.
Yep.
I was saying.
So
I don't have my eyeballs on.
That's
so
okay.
I might have to borrow your.
Yeah, go right ahead.
No, it's all right.
So it very simply says the current zoning is A10.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
And now we're rezoning it, staying A10, which is called Planned District Residential.
Now, what does that mean?
It would allow for this development.
I've seen that. I have that plan.
Yeah. So that's all it means, is it would allow these four unit residential development on 31,529 square feet.
0.72 acres.
Yes. With less than required frontage, less than required minimum yard setback, and less than required rear yard setback. Less than required separation between the buildings and parking within 15 feet of a residential building.
All right. So basically it's, the piece of property is not going to be rezoned.
That's correct. It's going to be have these okay. conditions. It would stay A10, but it would have allowances, exceptions to allow this particular development on that one
right.
particular development.
We already went through that at the
planning board. Yes, I remember that.
Sir. Planning board. All right. So I was just concerned with it being.
Excuse me, sir. You have to speak in the mic because they're recording it. So
I'm sorry. I apologize. I was just concerned that the property itself was going to be rezoned into a different category or something.
No, same category.
I really didn't, I didn't see anything on that. And I just seen rezoning.
You make a very good point, sir. The parking calculation calls for 8 parking spots for these four units. We're providing 20 parking spots for these four units.
Okay. Well, I explained totally.
Yeah, no, that's why we put the extra parking because of what you said at the planning board hearing.
Exactly. All right. As long as there's adequate parking and we don't have vehicles parked on the street. Because like I said, I've had open heart surgery and I've had brain surgery. I got two 80-year-old neighbors. I just want to make sure emergency vehicles can get down the street. And if they've increased, well, the architect or whatever has increased it, then I don't have a problem with it.
Thank you.
I've just seen this rezoning and that. No,
I agree. It's a li- if you don't know what it is, it looks like.
Yeah, I had no idea exactly what it was. So
thank you. I hope I answered your question.
Questions answered.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other individuals who would like to speak against this project? To this mic right here.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Reed. I live at 15 Blackmore Street, which is just down from the property. My reason for being here tonight is to just express my opinion on the change of the zoning, that my understanding of zoning is set in place for a neighborhood to keep the integrity of a neighborhood. And this change for this lot is different than the rest of the neighborhood, which is mostly single-family homes. There are other homes in the neighborhood that are multifamily, but I think it goes up to 3 units. I think A10, does anybody know the rules exactly? A10 allows up to 3 multiple family units on a lot, but because this is going to 4, that's why we need this zoning change. That if the plan was for a 3-unit development, that we wouldn't need this zoning change at all, and it may be more in accordance with the existing character of the neighborhood. Also, I think I understand that if it's only 3 units, it would still be covered by the city pickup, trash pickup. That it, when it goes to 4 is when you need the private trash pickup. So if it was only 3 units, it would be under the city of Warwick would be able to handle the trash pickup for this particular development. I think the development is very nice and very beautiful, but I just don't think it's consistent with the existing character of our neighborhood. Also, the concern is the increase of traffic. We have a very peaceful, quiet neighborhood. Making 4 units available at the end of this corner, Williams and Blackmore, would increase traffic on both sides of that corner coming in. And the last thing was... Nope, I think that's everything. I covered everything. Those are my concerns. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone here that would like to be heard on this project? Is there anyone here that would like to be heard on this project? Is there anyone here that would like to be heard on this project? Okay, hearing none. Councilman Gephardt, can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
I move to close the public hearing.
Second by Councilwoman Travis. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Now, are there any questions or comments from members of the council on PCO 11-23? Any other additional questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, do we have a motion?
I will move favorable action on the first passage for this zone change.
It's second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Ricks, Councilman Foley, and Councilman Howe, and Councilwoman Travis. Any other additional questions or comments from members of the council? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
Thank you, first passage.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Thank you very much, and thank you to everyone who came out this evening to speak on this. Next up on the agenda is unfinished business. Number one is PCO 6-23, committee report, land use.
Recommend favorable action for second passage.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments on this that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 Absolutely.
Yes.
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 Thank you. Motion passes. Number two this evening is PCO 8-23, Committee Report, Finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in Finance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 Thank you. Second passage. Next up is PCR 24-23, which is now 2023-88. This is going to be held to May 8th. Number four this evening is PCR 31-23, Committee Report, Public Safety.
Move, recommend favorable action on the amount of $300.
For action, Councilman Foley.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Ricks and Councilman McElroy. Questions or comments? Councilman Sinapi.
Because I tried to bring this up during the committee meeting, but I wasn't able to get heard. The claimant only submitted one estimate, and the proffered reason was that the dealership had to be the one to repair it due to the nature of a warranty. I don't remember us ever doing that as far as saying it's okay to just have one estimate despite a particular circumstance. Usually we are incredibly difficult about that, in fact, to the point where we'll tell people, like, look, go Google it and figure it out. You have a tire, Google the tire. You have an auto body place, ask them what they would have charged for it, regardless of whether or not they can do it due to the nature of your warranty. So I'm not saying the claimant should come back and explain the nature of her reasoning, because she made it very clear in her papers. My suggestion and what I'm about to make a motion for is to hold it unless and until she submits the two additional estimates, just like we make everybody else do. And I recall us giving some people a real hard time who had to like jump through hoops to get estimates even. So I don't see any reason why this person's differently situated to make that unreasonable. So I'd move to hold this until at least, let's say the May 8th meeting, to give her time to do it, and then we can always delay it further for her. Because I'm not suggesting we make this impossible for her. I'm suggesting we just be fair.
Yep. Council, let me get a second.
I'll second it.
Second by Councilman. Any additional comments, Councilman Sinapi?
Nope.
No. All right. Any other questions? Councilman Ricks.
My position on this is that, from my recollection, we have done this before as a committee. It's certainly not something that's very common at all, but I do recall at least one instance where we did. And in doing so, I try to take a look at the purpose of the rule that we generally have in place for the three estimates, and that's to make sure that we are getting reasonable numbers, that there is being due diligence that's being served. So here, the maximum is $300 in relief. The total amount is far, far in excess of $300. But more importantly than just looking at it that way is taking a look at, has there been an entity that's already done the work for us? Some entity that we can rely on that has a financial interest at stake here. And that, from that perspective, the answer is yes. The insurance company of the claimant has already processed the claim and awarded a payment of just under $2,000. And so because the insurance company has found that amount to be reasonable, and paid out on that claim without trying to go back and say, okay, that total amount is unreasonable, we're going to knock that amount down to some lower amount. And the claimant here is seeking the balance as to the deductible that the insurance company isn't going to pay for that deductible. Well, here the $300 being a fraction of that deductible, I really think that it would be making the claimant to jump through extra hoops for no real purpose when we have reliable information that the amount that the claimant is due and has not received from any other source to cover this expense is absolutely over that amount of $300. So although I can certainly appreciate the desire to enforce the same rules upon everybody, having that level playing field, I think that this is an area where if an insurance company has investigated the matter and paid out on the claim, then I'm comfortable with the city council, the committee, recommending and approving an amount of up to the $300 per state law that remains due to the presence of that type of deductible. Thank you.
Councilman Foley.
I agree with what my colleague said, Councilman Ricks. And in addition to this, if we hold this again, this will be the third time to hold this. The claimant has already come to two city council meetings. Through her own mistake, she did not know we were discussing it last meeting. She came to this meeting, and now to ask her to go back and find two more estimates for work that's already been done is burdensome. I'm going to vote in favor of this claim.
Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not looking to speak for Councilman Sinapi, but I think the point is the willingness of this committee to vary from its own internal rules and regulations. This claim, in addition to the points that Councilman Sinapi brought up, also was not filed in a timely manner. And it wasn't just a couple of days. It was, if I remember correctly, like a week or 10 days. So as I mentioned earlier this evening about varying from procedures, how many times can you just say, well, it's okay because of this, it's okay because of that, but then it's not okay because of something else? We just need to be careful as to what variances and alternatives and conditions that we're looking to approve. I think the points that Councilman Sinapi brought up, he also indicated, by the way, that the claimant would not have to return before this council. He simply said that he would like to see two additional estimates as we typically require. And I will certainly be supporting that. Thank you.
Yeah, and additionally, it's not like she went to other dealerships and was told, walk off, you already got the repairs and you're not even contemplating them here. She didn't even try. We've had people, again, go through great lengths to get estimates because we made them do it. The only I still can't recall one where we didn't do that, but I'm fairly confident that if we did, it was only in a situation where the person literally could not get them. This is not that situation. This person just didn't try. Granted, I'm not knocking her for it because she had a pretty darn good reason. If I was her, I'd probably be in a similar boat. But she's also never said, I'm not gonna try. She just wasn't told you have to. There's no reason not to require her to do it. And Councilman Lattice was right. Like, we have these procedures for a reason. We start deviating from them left and right. You have to have a damn good reason to do that besides, well, the insurance company checked it. Unfortunately, there's plenty of times that we have these come to us, an insurance company has paid out, and we said, no, we're going with the lower cost because that's what we do. It's part of the whole reason we have them get estimates. So I disagree strongly with the concept of just going with one. simply because the insurance company said so. Anyone who's worked in the legal field, I don't trust insurance companies as far as I can throw them anyway. So regardless, it's a no. If it's a hold, I'm for it. If we're not going to hold it, I'm going to vote no.
Well, we have a motion to hold, and that was seconded. So that's before us at this time. Anyone else want to comment on that? Do we have a motion to hold? Councilman Ricks.
I'll try to do this briefly, respond that I certainly do not trust insurance companies either. However, that's mostly because insurance companies often aren't paying on claims properly that they should be. And where we have an insurance company that's paying on a claim, then because that insurance company has an interest in not paying on the claim, when I see that happening, that's an indication to me that that looks like a valid claim, especially when the total amount is, I believe that the total amount was a bit over $3,000. I have no reason to doubt that the claim was worth at least $300. I certainly appreciate the need to be consistent in our procedures, but I also take a look at what exactly is the city's interest in having those particular procedures in the first place. For the fellow lawyers here, I think about, for instance, the Rhode Island Supreme Court Hawkins case. So there's a common law concept of certain damages. There's a heightened requirement because of uncertainties, the subjective nature, difficult to demonstrate certain damages in certain types of claims. But in other circumstances, the court doesn't see a need to have that same heightened standard. And similarly, we, in a lot of the contexts, don't have that heightened standard of getting three different estimates. We typically enforce that with pothole claims, but when we have an insurance company actually paying out and we have no reason to doubt that the insurance company is doing its own due diligence, well, that satisfies me as to the requirement to get those extra two quotes or estimates. The entire purpose, I recall, of this city council two or three decades ago imposing this three estimate or three quote system was because one shop started to become notorious where they never saw a pothole claim that was less than $300. And so the city council started to have that heightened requirement. But if there's no, under the circumstances, no reason to doubt the validity of that $300, it's in a different boat. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Howe.
Quickly, Mr. President, I just want to say, it seems like the discussion this evening is all about we're getting a document or we're getting a packet that wasn't completed. And I guess I would refer or not expect any answer, but to the administration, if there's something maybe moving forward where there would be a checklist. And if that checklist isn't complete, it doesn't come before the council. Therefore, the council doesn't get put in this position where on a $300 claim, and I understand every dollar counts, but we voted on multi-million dollar projects tonight and we're spending the most time on a $300 claim. So because of missing information that went beyond the department that reviews it. So maybe that's something I would like to hear more discussion on outside of the chamber, where we have a protocol and a procedure before it advances to the council. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. So this has been moved to hold to May 8th. Is there any additional questions on the motion to hold? Councilwoman Travis?
I was just going to add to the fact that I don't think it's fair for the people that we made go out and get more bids, or whatever you want to call them. The fact of the matter, when I was chair of the public safety, I sent people in my own ward back and told them, no, we need three estimates. And they had to go back and do it. So I don't care what kind of car they got or where they live or who they know. It's not fair. It should be fair for everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, the clerk will call the roll on the hold this to May 8th.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, 2 no. Hold to May 8th.
Okay, held to May 8th.
Point of order?
Councilman?
Who's going to reach out to this claimant and ask? You will? All right, thank you.
No, I'm not. No, I'm sorry. That's going to go back to the finance department because finance handles all of this. So we don't get them until it's supposed to be completed before it comes back to the council. Once we receive the claims, we just put them in your binder. We don't go through them. So okay. I'll send it back to finance if everyone's okay with that.
My point is that someone needs in the city to reach out to this claimant because she left thinking that she was all set.
Okay. As chairman, you will work with the administration on that. Thank you. New business, PCO 4-23, committee report, ordinance. For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the ordinance committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
Thank you, first passage. Number two this evening is PCO 13-23. This is going to be held until May 8th. Number three this evening is PCO 43-23, committee report, intergovernmental.
Favorable action, Mr. President.
Councilman McElroy, can you move that for me, please?
I move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the Intergovernmental Committee? Councilman Ricks.
If I recall correctly, I thought that the request on PCO 13-23 was to hold to May 8th.
Yes, that's what it was. We did that. We're on number three on the agenda, PCO 43-23.
Pardon me, I must have been looking at the agenda incorrectly. Thank you.
No problem. Any questions or comments on PCO 43-23? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Yes. Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks? Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms.
Yes.
Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. We're now moving to an item which is under unanimous consent. So the first vote at this time is there any objection to hearing PCR 46-23, a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute a construction and maintenance agreement with the state of Rhode Island for roadway resurfacing, sidewalk repairs, and or traffic signal upgrades on Route 2, Route 113, West Shore Road, US 1, Centerville Road, and Tollgate Road. Is there any objections to hearing this at this time under unanimous consent? Okay. Hearing none, we will now hear PCR 46-23. I docket this on behalf of the administration. This is to give the city granting the state authority to put work in, specifically two signs, one in front of Warwick Vets Middle School, and one in front of Robinson Elementary School. DOT is waiting on the consent from the council to start this project and get permission to work on the city property. Would anybody like to make a motion for favorable action on that? Councilwoman Travis?
I make a motion favorable action on PCR-46-23.
Thank you. It's second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments on PCR 46-23 from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
To clarify, what this does is that the state would pay for the installation of those signs, and the city would just have the obligation to maintain those signs, and the city isn't going to be paying for anything other than the maintenance of those signs that the state is installing?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? This was under unanimous consent, so it was not heard in committee. So are there any members of the public that would like to be heard on PCR 46-23? Are there any members of the public that would like to be heard? Are there any members of the public that would like to be heard? Okay, hearing none, it's been moved for favorable action. It's been seconded. So the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent?
No.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
One item, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the unanimous consent of the council to docket the second passage of PCO 4-23 at our next regular scheduled meeting, which is May 8th.
Is there any objections to hearing second passage at the next meeting from the council?
Which item was that, please?
PCO 4-23.
What's the title? Oh, okay, I got it. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
The solicitor can give additional details.
Councilman, the way the schedule is going to fall, the second passage of this would fall on the night that we have intended and scheduled to hold the budget hearing. So we want to keep that night entirely for budget. This allows us to move the second passage up a couple weeks rather than delaying it a month.
No, I'm fine with it. I just didn't hear what the PCO was. Thank you.
That was
PCO. So is there any objection to hearing that from members of the council? Okay. Ward 4, anything under unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8?
Pass.
Ward 9?
I have one with similar reasoning to Councilman Howe. I move the to hear PCO 11-23 under unanimous consent at our next scheduled meeting, which is May 8th.
That was the public hearing that we
heard. That's correct. Yep.
Is there any objections from members of the council? I'm hearing this for second passage at the next meeting. Okay, no objections. So ordered. It will be heard at the next meeting. Thank you. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor of moving to docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket?
No.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Yes, Mr. President. I have one. It's an ordinance, and it's on behalf of the administration. It's an ordinance adopting the Warwick Harbor Management Plan.
Councilman, I think we docketed this one on one second. We docketed this at the end of February, so I know the materials have arrived now, but this has been docketed as PCO 723 previously.
Okay, that was just presented to me to do, so if it's already done, tell me what that docket memo said.
That's it.
I have a docket memo from 227 saying tentative title on behalf of the administration, ordinance adopting the Warwick Harbor Management Plan.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Don't need to do it again.
Happy to have the materials and we'll get it drafted first.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7, I have two. Both on behalf of the administration. The first one is an ordinance amending Fire 1 and Police Fire and Police 1 employer pension contributions and creating a funding strategy for other post-employment benefits. Finance Committee. The second item is a resolution requesting the General Assembly enact legislation amending state laws relative to state reimbursement of school construction indebtedness issued by a municipality or school district. Intergovernmental. Ward 8, anything to docket? Ward 9. There is no more business. The council meeting is closed. Thank you. I'm not the deployment.